Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Here is something to be familiar with you, but it's important, and you'll see why. Vince Lombardi had had enough. In his first year as coach of the Green Bay Packers, he was frustrated by the performance of his football players. In true Lombardi form, he blew his whistle and yelled, "Gather around," to his players. Then, and this is what most of you, a lot of you will have heard this, he held up a football, pointed to it, and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Coach Lombardi knew that without a firm foundation of the basics of the game, his team would never be successful. For the Green Bay Packers, winning started with the basics. The turnaround was stunning. In his tenure as the coach of the Packers, he won 4 NFL championships and the first 2 Super Bowls. I use that because we are made as believers, we're made to win. In our Christian lives, we are made to win. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. But if we are going to continue to win in our lives as believers, we have to master the basics. And there are simple, life-changing truths that we need to hold on to. And 2 of these that we're going to talk about tonight are God loves us and he cares for us. Now, I know you may be thinking, okay, well, I got it. Can I go home now? No. I don't believe in wasting our time, and I believe that you're going to want to hear the rest. And so, Roman number 1, because of, I forgot to get my tech thing going, or I had it going and it disappeared. Just talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, all eyes are on me, that's right. Because of Jesus, we know that God loves us. John 3:16, one of the first verses of Scripture most people learn is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It was only a couple of years ago that I recognized the emphasis in John 3:16. I've been a Christian for almost 50 years now, but several years ago, this struck me where it says, "For God so loved the world." It doesn't just say God loved the world, God cares about the world, God loved. God so loved. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." See, it's one thing for us to know it, and a lot of people say, "Well, I know that," but we got to know and believe. It's got to get beyond just a mental assent and get down deep in our hearts. And so I'm going to have you repeat things with me tonight. I've got several of them, and this is one. I want you to say this with me. I know and believe God loves me. Okay. I want to talk about something now that almost every church, preacher, almost every Christian says they believe, and that is God's love is unconditional. Now, unconditional, as in unconditional love, means there are no conditions on it. Now, just bear with me, because almost every church, Christian, preacher, they all, we pretty much say we believe this, but I am not convinced that all believers necessarily have got a handle on this, about God's unconditional love, because so many people put conditions on it. You know, it's kind of like, well, he loves me if I pray enough, or he loves me if I read my Bible enough, if I give enough, if I serve enough, if I'm good enough. Now, we may not actually say these things, but in our minds, we can kind of feel like it's that way, that, you know, there are conditions on it, that if the better I do, the more God loves me, and it's just not right. Either God's love is unconditional, having no conditions on it, or not, right? And it is. It's unconditional. God's love isn't based on what we do. Now, this is really important because there are believers who have the difficulty if they've had a failure or they've messed up somewhere in their lives. They somehow feel like God's mad at them, and if they've sinned, and especially if it's something that they've asked forgiveness for a time or two or 20 times before. And so some people feel like, you know, well, God's, you know, I can't keep coming to him again and again about this. It's the same thing that I asked forgiveness for last month, and so it can be a problem. So I understand in saying this, it can raise an alarm with some, because some people say, well, you know, if are you saying that it doesn't matter how a person lives? People can just go crazy and do any old thing that they want to, and it doesn't matter. And that's why I put Romans chapter 6, verse 15 in. He says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Now say that. Of course not. Or as Sherlock Holmes would say, obviously. So hear me tonight. It does matter how we live. We can't just live crazy in any old which way, or we'll suffer. The Bible says we reap what we sow, and we'll suffer the consequences of sin if we continue in sin, and those consequences can be brutal. Now, I believe in the power of God that sets us free from sin. There, in our church, I just know, I know from, because I know a lot of our people in our church, and I know me, there are tons of people who come to this church who were chronic offenders in sin. Chronic offenders. Drinking drugs, sleeping around, hating people, being mean to little old ladies and all those kind of things. But they are free tonight. But listen, they would never have gotten free without believing God had not given up on them. We need to know that God doesn't give up on us. How are we going to know that we can keep coming to him for forgiveness unless we know he loves us unconditionally? No conditions. Don't you ever listen to the voice, that voice that tells you, you may as well give it up. God's finished with you. Don't listen to it, because that is the voice of hell. Mark it down. Now, another thing I want you to say with me. I can come to him at any time about anything because he loves me. Isn't that good to know? No matter what, God loves us. And this isn't an abstract or impersonal kind of love. His love is deeply involved and deeply personal. Please hear me tonight. God loves you. God loves us. This love isn't just casual. It couldn't be more intense. Literally couldn't be. Okay, and so because he loves, he cares. God loves us, and he cares. It's because of Jesus that we know God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want you to say this with me. He cares for me. When Jesus began preaching, he chose Isaiah 61 as his text. This was a prophecy of the coming Messiah, and he quoted it, or it's quoted in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus opens up the scroll in Isaiah and begins to read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, these verses describe what the Christ or the Messiah would do, preach good news, heal the sick, set people free. They can all be summed up with two words: he cares. When Jesus came, he was the embodiment of God. He was God in the flesh. And when he began his ministry, he showed everyone God cares. Another way of putting this is he feels for us. Psalm 103, verse 13, this is in the Message Bible. It says, as parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. This is an intense feeling that God has for us, like a parent toward their children. We got a lot of parents here tonight, and that feeling that we have for our kids, that's the intensity of God's feeling for us. When we were living in Kenya, my son Dan, at the time that this happened, was 4 years old, and he was playing with Laura, his older sister, in one of the bedrooms, and we had these built-in closets that were in the house that we were renting, and so Dan had climbed up. There were shelves in the part of the closet, and Dan crawled up in the top of the shelf. It was a good probably 7 or 8 feet high, and he's 4 years old. He falls out of it, and concrete floors, and cracks his head on the concrete, and big old goose egg, and he cried a little bit. Dan was, man, this kid had a high tolerance to pain. He cried like 30 seconds and then stopped, but he had this big goose egg on the back of his head, and I didn't run him in the hospital because we were in Africa, you know, and but we did stay up through the night watching him, making sure, you know, that he didn't have a concussion or something, and he was okay. But all night long, there was that concern and that feeling, and, you know, this is my boy, and that. So that feeling that we have as parents is the feeling God has for us and more. In Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? He cares more. He cares so much more. For God so loved, he cared. In Matthew 14:14, this is a phrase that's used throughout the Gospels several times, a number of times. And it says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, I want you to kind of focus in with me on this. Compassion, the word here is describing an intense feeling. The original word, it's almost like getting hit in the stomach and doubling over. That's the intensity of the feeling that goes along with this word, compassion. That's how Jesus feels about us. It's not a passive compassion. It's intense feeling. So I want you to repeat this with me. He cares for me intensely. God help us to get this, really. To not only know, but to believe the love and care he has for us. He cares about how we feel. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." See, a lot of believers really just don't get how much he cares about how we feel. I want you to hear me tonight. He feels for our feelings. Amen. He cares about what we feel about, our feelings. He feels for our feelings. In Psalm 31 and verse 1, it says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness." The word ashamed that's used here carries with it the sense of being or feeling worthless. And the psalmist's prayer is literally, "Let me never feel worthless." Listen, there are so many people who feel worthless. And there are believers who sometimes feel they're worthless. "I just don't feel, I don't know what kind of worth I have." And you and I should know, have to know, that we are not worthless. We should never let the devil, ourselves, or anybody else try to convince us that we're worthless, because all of us are priceless. Now, I know we're in church, and so when we're in church, we say amen to things like that, but we've really got to know and believe that we are priceless to God. Now, this dovetails with the thought I covered about Abba Father, that we are irresistible to him. If you weren't in that class, I really encourage you to get those notes on Abba Father, both parts. That is so incredible. We're irresistible to God. Amen. We are priceless to him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 says, "For you are bought at a price." Jesus bought us. Amen. He paid for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The price paid for us, the Bible says, was precious, as in costly, valuable, the blood of Christ. We could never put a price on the blood of Jesus, right? It's priceless. And so we should never feel worthless. We aren't worthless. We are worth more than we could ever imagine, because we are bought with the priceless blood of Jesus. Now, there's a saying we most of us have probably used it. You get what you pay for. You know, you get what you pay for. All of us have at one time or another, so probably a number of times. I know I have. I bought things because they were a good price. Facebook is good to keep in touch with people and stuff like that. But these Facebook, I bought several things on Facebook that was junk. It looked really cool, But it was a good price, and I thought, oh, well, $20-$25. I bought one of those window screen things. You know, some of you might have seen the ad. It's like an umbrella. I thought, wow, that's ingenious. I paid $25. It was junk. Years ago, I bought a shower massage at Walmart, screwed it in, you know, and got it going. Used it a couple of times, and it broke right off at the pipe, and water is spraying everywhere. So, you know, but I got it at Walmart, you know, and their return policy is just really always just great. So I went and returned it and got another one, same kind. Screwed it in, used it a couple of times, you know, broken. So this time I returned and got a refund. And I went to Home Depot and bought an expensive one. And we've been using it for, 12 years probably now. Sometimes you get what you pay for, right? Jesus paid for us with his own precious blood. And my point is, God help us to get this. None of us are junk. Jesus didn't buy junk. He didn't get any of us at a discount. Right? We were not bought cheap. We were all paid for with his blood. And because of that, tonight, if we've never felt this before, we need to feel it, know it, and believe it. We're priceless. Doesn't that make you feel priceless? Now, I want you to tell yourself this. God felt I was worth it. Isn't that awesome? God help us to know it and believe it. He cares. God cares. He cares for our feelings. And so this, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up and we're going to pray in a little bit. He cares enough to do something. I've lost my tech here. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can get this back. You guys, I probably lost. Never mind. I'm just going to go on. Just tell me, go on. Don't worry about it. Thank you. But I think I found it anyway. All right. It's because he cares that he moves. In Mark chapter 1, a leper comes to Jesus and he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, Jesus, listen, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. What moved this man and what moves us to Jesus is faith. But what moves Jesus to us is his compassion or his feeling for us. This is really good. And it's so important for us to get. As vital as our faith is in receiving from God, the object or who we are placing our faith in is the most important. Because we can make the mistake of feeling like it's up to us, you know, to work up enough faith to receive an answer to prayer and become so focused on us that we miss the importance of focusing on him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, who was set down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus. Who we focus our faith in or on is critical. He loves us. He cares for us. And out of his love and out of his care, he will respond when we cry out to him. We need to know this. Now, it's been said, I may have even said it at times in the past, God doesn't respond to need, he responds to faith. Any of you who've been in church for any length of time have probably heard me or somebody say that. And so I was thinking about that statement. God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. And while there is a truth that's in that statement, if we're not, and the way we are, sometimes we can get the impression that God isn't as concerned about our need as he is in our faith. And that isn't true. It isn't true at all. God is concerned about our need. He wants us to believe, but he cares. His compassion, he is moved with compassion for us. And so, once again, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him for or because he cares for you. Our incentive to cast our care, our anxieties, our cares, our worries on him is knowing and believing that he cares for us. See, this is where faith gets generated. Faith isn't just God, I dare to believe, I dare to believe, I dare to believe. The rain's coming, the rain's coming, I believe it. See, we can get so focused on our believing in ourselves that we lose track of our focus on him. And so this is why these things are so important. To know God loves us, he cares for us. Out of that care, he's moved with compassion and causes him to do things for us. Amen. Not because we deserve it, not because we worked for it, prayed enough, or even possibly believed hard enough for, but simply because he cares. And because he cares, he moves. Did you catch that? It's real simple. God loves us. He cares for us. Because he cares for us, he moves. Faith is what moves us to come to him, but compassion is what moves him to us and to do something. So I want to lead you in prayer and in a confession. Then I want to pray for some needs tonight that are here and just believe God for a release. God help us tonight. Can you say amen? Why don't you just pray this with me and just repeat this out loud with me as I follow along with you. Just repeat this. Thank you, Jesus, for loving and caring for me. Thank you that I was worth everything to you. I bring all my needs to you, believing you care for me. I believe that what concerns me concerns you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to pray over us tonight for healing, for financial need, for God's intervention in our families. But before I do that, I want you to say this with me. I know and believe he loves me and cares for me. See, if we really know and believe that, then we'll believe that he's going to do something right now. Because he's going to do something right now in our lives. I have in my life seen God intervene for me time and again in touching me physically. I've seen him do miracles in my family and just incredible things. I've seen God move in this church. I've seen him heal cancers and back stuff and all kind of things. He loves us, cares about us. And out of that, he moves. And so I want to pray for us tonight. And just pausing for a moment here, just kind of, yeah, let the Holy Spirit move. Move on us. So I know I told you at the beginning to think about what you need God's intervention in. there are those here that you need God to touch you in your body. And let's just pray for that first. And just, if you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. I know there's a lot of you here. So what I want to do is I want to pray for you, believe God with you. And if it's an area of your body you need healing in, if you can do it without embarrassment to yourself, I want you to lay your hand on that. If it's several areas, just put your hand on your forehead and pray for yourself as I pray and believe God with you. And we're just going to believe God to reach out and touch and bring healing right now in His name, in Jesus' name. Leper came to Jesus. And he said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. He's willing. And out of that compassion, he's moving to help right now. So I just want to pray for you right now. And you, why don't you repeat this with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my healing. I believe I am healed by your stripes. I thank you for moving, touching my body, healing me now. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Lord, right now across this building and those that are listening or even viewing online, reaching out your hand just as you touched that leper and brought healing in his body. You're reaching out and touching. Thank you for it. Healing. Thank you for it, Jesus. Releasing healing virtue. That there are those here tonight sensing a difference in their body. Those that are listening online sensing difference. God, reaching out. You're reaching out, touching, bringing healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you were asking God to do something and it's something you can know that you feel the difference already right now, would you just lift your hand where we can see it and just know? Praise God. Mark? Praise God. And I'm sorry, your name?
Wanda.
Wanda? Felt God touch you and bring healing? Feel different? Praise God. Praise God. I want to encourage you. As we prayed and believed, a lot of times, and I have done this kind of prayer countless times over the years, and there are those that receive something right then, and sometimes oftentimes it's the next day or the next following days. I want to encourage you to continue to expect to see a difference in your body. You know why? Because he loves you, cares about you, and it moves him to do something about this. So we just trust him and believe, right? Okay. Now, I want to pray for families and for financial needs. And so let's just pray again. If you would just bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, there are those of us here who need your intervention in our families. It may be distant family. It may be cousins and nephews, nieces. God, tonight we lift up them to you, sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters. God, those in our family, we know, Lord, because you have stated it, that you so love them. You so love them, and we commit them into your hands, Lord, for you, Holy Spirit, to work in their lives and to speak in areas of their heart that only you know how to speak into and to woo them, to draw them. Holy Spirit, you know how to draw, and you care. You're reaching out, touching them, drawing them to yourself. We entrust these family members into your hands. I pray tonight for those here that have need financially, or family that has a financial need in their lives tonight. God, I pray for release of your resources, intervention. God, you are our provider, Jehovah Jireh. You are so good at taking care of your children. You told us not to worry about these things because you care. You know our needs, and we just trust you tonight for intervention. I pray releasing of financial miracles. Lord, we look for testimonies to come quickly in your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? He loves us, cares for us. Johanna? Yeah, sure. Well, but turn and speak. Praise God. We will believe God. And so when you get, if you couldn't hear, Yana felt the Lord say that there's a financial breakthrough coming for someone. And I believe for someone's. And so when it happens, just share. Tell somebody what God's done for you. If he touched you physically, tell somebody. If he moved in your family's life. I remember years ago a guy, before he went on to be with the Lord, he had been an alcoholic for decades. And because of that, he was estranged from his kids. And God miraculously brought a restoration of relationship. And God does that kind of thing all the time. Yeah. And so don't despair. If you've got family members that are just like devils, don't despair. God knows how to get in and woo them and bring them and draw them to yourself. You know, I got saved right before my 19th birthday, so I dropped out my senior year because I went insane. And so just went crazy. And for about a year and a half, for a long time. If I had been voted in our yearbook in my senior year, if I hadn't dropped out, I would not have been voted most likely to become a preacher or most likely to get saved. I didn't expect me to be this today. But you know what? God knows how to get a hold. I got family members that were crazy. Got saved. I was going to share another thing about a family member. You remember every once in a while you're online. So. Anyway, time to quit talking and close, huh? Get myself into trouble. Am I blushing? I'm probably blushing. I blush easily. Hi, y'all. Oh, y'all. I dropped that there. They're in the South. But anyway. Okay, let's just close with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for intervening, and thank you for testimonies that are going to be coming forth in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Next Wednesday night will be...
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.